buying experience.
Let's get it started in here.
It's morning again, and waking up isn't easy. At least I know my favorite show is on. It's 6 a.m. There ain't nobody like them. I just know they'll never steer me wrong. Sam, John, Drew, and Sam, speaking out, talking to me, talking to you. Justice and Drew, mornings have never been so good. Justice and Drew, I never miss a show, I don't think I could.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's all right with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Can you?
FM. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
It is Monday, April 22nd, 2019, Earth Day.
Whoa!
It's Earth Day, everybody.
Mm-hmm. The day of the Earth?
It's the day of the Earth.
Oh, we've got a lot of Earth Day conversation today.
I look forward to my traditional, rolling around on my lawn shirtless.
I'm going to use...
celebrating the Earth. Just getting the Earth all over me. You okay?
Yeah, that's funny. I'm going to use 10 times as many straws as I normally would.
It's good. When I left this
just
morning,
like one drink, all 10 straws.
When I left this morning, I backed the key out of the driveway, and then I got out of the car, and I had procured a bunch of large old used tires. I'd poured oil and gasoline on them, and I set them on fire.
You did not.
And then I drove away.
That is a lie.
Was it nice and warm? It sounds like it.
It was. I thought of you.
Why?
When I did it, because, you know.
Because you like to burn stuff,
and you're on a farm, and you guys burn things. So I was like, you know, this is in honor of Sam.
Happy Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day, everybody.
Happy Earth Day.
To be fair, tires are where I draw the line on burning stuff. I do not burn tires.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems really unhealthy. Not for the Earth. I'm more worried about me inhaling all of it.
Gotcha.
Speaking of unhealthy, John, we're glad you're over your Ebola whooping.
Yeah, man. It
whooping
was,
Ebola.
Holy cow. Yeah,
whooping Ebola measles.
Oh, yeah, whooping Ebola measles.
Melinda's got it now, and I remember there was a moment on Friday. I don't know. I got up, and I just out loud, I go, I do not want this. I'm not kidding. I have not been that sick in so long. I mean, that point where you don't even want to get up. Like, I really gotta go to the bathroom. Like, I haven't gone to the bathroom in like 3 hours. And the reason why is because I'm dreading that short walk to that room right there. Because I felt
that's the worst.
Yeah. And then, so I started feeling better on Saturday. The boys had it all week. And then, Melinda walks into the room. She goes, yeah, I'm not feeling so good. And I was like, oh, no. So she went down for the count. It takes a lot. She was sick a little while ago. It takes a lot for her to go down. But it's going around too. I saw one of our colleagues on one of the other stations had posted something this morning that I know wasn't something about Ebola crawling across the table, and I know that it was in reference to whatever this horrible terrorist-born disease viruses. Just atrocious. So, but I'm back and hi.
Yeah, really cool of you guys to try to convince me that you actually went to the doctor and actually got diagnosed with a whooping cough.
That was his idea.
That was fantastic.
You're both jerks.
That was so much fun.
I was legitimately concerned for your health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really seemed like it.
Yeah,
I was. And then it took me like.
So Sam on Friday's show was convinced that John had whooping cough and was saying things.
It's actually going around.
He kept saying, like, I'm going to text John and tell him to get checked for whooping cough, which you never did.
Right.
And that's how the whole thing started.
So John was
listening to the show.
I was texting with Drew, and I was legit disappointed that neither of you guys had reached out to ask how I was doing.
Well, Drew basically told me it was dumb for saying that you might have whooping cough.
It was Saturday. It was like Saturday morning, or was it Sunday morning? It was Saturday morning, right?
Saturday.
It was morning.
Saturday morning.
I was like, legit. I'm like, man, nobody even bothered to see, like, how are you feeling? I was like,
you were letting us know. So, like, you were giving us regular updates. Why would I reach out?
I hadn't texted you guys at all.
I figured if you died, we'd hear about it.
I had no communication with you guys at all. And so I'm texting with, and even in the middle of when I'm texting with Drew on something separate, he still hadn't been like, say, how you feeling? So finally, I'm like, well, fine. I'm just going to go ahead and offer it up because I'm legitimately bugged. And he's like, I was concerned. I just figured you'd tell me, you know, when you wanted to tell me. That's how your text sound in my head.
That's kind of how I feel, too.
So then, Drew, I
figured we'd get an update if it was getting worse.
I said, how did the turtle lightsaber thing pop up on Friday? But thank you for everybody who tweeted out the GIFs. And then while we were talking, I went and listened to the beginning of the show, and then I got disappointed all over again. Because, Sam, you had said that you were going to text me about your whooping cough concerns, and you never... I never got a text, and then Drew goes... You should totally put it in the group chat. Yeah, in the group chat.
No, when...
Go in the group chat and be like, hey, guys, I went to the doctor. Turns out I have whooping cough.
Let's toy with Sam's emotions and fears.
And then I got Max, because Max was sitting in John's seat. So I got Max to text the group and say, guys, I'm not feeling well. I think I have whooping cough.
Well, the funny part about that was, Sam, you're not aware of this, is that there was actually a whole other thread where that started... That you weren't included on, that you were supposed to be included
on. Yeah, Max accidentally left you off.
So Max left you off the thread of trying to convince you that I had whooping cough, to which I texted Drew, I don't think Sam is on this thread. And he goes, no, it wasn't. And that's when I legitimately felt bad for
toying with your emotions. Yeah, I was wondering how long John
could
keep it up.
I don't like to play those games. I felt very bad the whole time.
20 minutes later, he's like, just kidding.
Less than that, I was trying to offer hints because I felt horrible about it.
Yeah, I took the hints pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But no, I decided not to message you because I didn't want to worry you since you were already sick. And Nurse Rhiannon called into the show, told me that I was being silly by saying that you might have whooping cough because apparently everybody's vaccinated for it.
I don't know if I've had a whooping cough.
No, it's like wrapped into something else. It's like if you have a tetanus shot, then you can't get it or something. I don't know. She'll call in and tell me I'm wrong.
Is it like other vaccines where like they give you a cough so you don't get another cough?
They have
whooping cough parties and have everybody cough at each other.
Cough at each other's faces. Cough in my face.
It sounds like a nightmare for me.
I'm praying that neither of you guys end up getting this because it was bad. You can already hear my voice right now. I've got to like bring it down an octave because I got to be careful with it. It was bad news, but I'm glad to be back today and I'm feeling okay.
We're glad you're back. We do have DC correspondent Andrew Langer joining us right around 7 o'clock. Regular Monday visit from him. Also, Mr. Right, Jason Lewis, not only has his Minnesota moment at 7:28, but also will be joining us at 8:35 this morning.
And Sam, the Earth Day scouring.
It's very earthy.
Sam's tire burn.
Newstalk.com.
Happy Earth Day, everybody. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, the top five on the way here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. Earth Day 2019, I sent Drew and Sam a link to a calculator that you can use as you celebrate your Earth Day, so you can shame yourself on Earth Day.
I love shaming myself
to see how big your carbon footprint is.
Turns out mine's pretty tiny.
Is it?
Well, because I don't know the answers to most of the questions.
Right.
So I'm just calculating it all at zero.
And I
have pretty much a negative carbon footprint.
I tried to do it.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to do it.
And then it
this.
Told me that I had to, like, turn on or off cookies or something like that, and I didn't care.
This is all, like, so convoluted and complicated. I don't know how much heating oil my house
Looks
uses.
Looks like you're using an ad blocker. Yeah, I am. And I'm going to keep using it.
So Sam's trying to fill hers out right now, but...
This is confusing. I don't know any of these answers.
We are about to jump into Sam's Top 5. I do have some breaking news that I do not believe is in Sam's Top 5. We can cover real quickly. Representative Seth Moulton, the latest Democrat to enter the presidential race.
Another one?
Yeah, have you ever heard of him?
Nope.
Neither have I.
Hey, it's Earth Day.
Happy Earth Day, random Democrat.
Who is this fool?
He is
that's going to lose and not win and not make it past Iowa.
He is a representative from Massachusetts.
It's so cute.
The third
win.
Massachusetts politician to throw a hat into the 2020 ring.
What's in the water in Massachusetts?
Fantastic.
An Iraq veteran who led an unsuccessful
Liberalism.
Effort to oust Nancy Pelosi from House leadership last year. The 40-year-old Seth Moulton said he plans to run a campaign focused on national security and defense issues.
All right.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. The water in Massachusetts is laced with liberalism. That's what they don't put Florida in it. It's liberalism. That's what it is there.
So, I wonder what liberalism tastes like in your water.
Congratulations. Was Seth? You said Seth.
Seth Moulton.
All right. Congratulations, Seth Moulton.
I'm not sure that I'm sold on the idea of a president being named Seth. Sorry.
President Seth.
Is that short for something else?
No, it's just Seth.
Setherin.
Is his house sigil a snake?
Setholomew. Sethon. Oh, I like Sethon. That's kind of fun.
Sethew.
Hey, one more quick point on, we're going to talk more about, we have Earth Day stuff, a lot of sad millennials coming up in the 7 o'clock
My
hour.
Favorite.
Oh, it's great stuff. Climate grief is apparently a thing. The Earth Day thing cracks me up, Drew, and you've been on this journey with me now. Like, in the past decade, I do really relish the fact that it's become, like, irrelevant. Like, there was about 10 years ago, there was this massive movement on Earth Day, man, and they had logos, and they had, you know, the turn everything off for Earth Day, and all this stuff.
And I remember it was a huge focus when I was in school.
Right, and now...
It's huge.
Hey, everybody, it's Earth Day.
I didn't know that it was Earth Day until you guys told me it was Earth Day.
Well, and it's a really, really... And they're cyclical. I would imagine that over a long enough timeline, you'll see it make a comeback, and they'll do the, you know, turn everything off, you know, your Earth hour and shut everything down. But right now, it really has fallen by the wayside, and it's a good example of that style over substance. There was nothing to it. There was so little to the Earth hour in and of itself. That, I mean, are they even doing that? I haven't seen a single...
They still do Earth hour.
Are they doing it today?
No. Earth hour happened... A few weeks ago.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Where
it's like on a Saturday evening.
What a terrible marketing ploy. You gotta take advantage of Earth Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're supposed to, they always do it on a Saturday, and you're supposed to turn everything off for an hour
and just sit
like
there.
Shut down all your power.
Sit there in your carbon footprint and cry. I mean, I do that anyways, but not because of Earth. But it's just funny to me. That was Earth Day. It was like 10 years ago. It was huge. Everybody was pushing it, and we'd get interview requests and all that. And now it's just, hey, everybody, you know, go hug a tree. go lick a branch.
Carbon footprint calculator. Ask you a bunch of questions you don't know the answer to. This segment of Justice and Drew is powered by our friends over at Early Bird Electric. It is Sam's Top 5 for a Monday.
Number 1.
6 nearly simultaneous explosions struck 3 churches and 3 high-end hotels frequented by tourists on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka, killing nearly 200 people and injuring many more. From Fox News, multiple fatalities, including 11 foreigners, resulted among worshippers and hotel guests, a police official said, adding that to at least 2 of the church blasts that were believed to have been a coordinated attack carried out by suicide bombers. The first explosions occurred at around 8:45 a.m., with the deadliest appearing to be at the St. Sebastian's Church, in a city about 20 miles north of Colombo, which is the capital of Sri Lanka. Other attacks occurred at St. Anthony's Shrine in Colombo and Zion Church in the eastern city of Batilicola. The three hotels, Shangri-La, Cinnamon Grand, and Kingsbury Hotel, all in Colombo, are frequented by foreign tourists. Photos were posted to social media showing extensive damage, along with blood and debris inside the targeted churches. A deputy director of the National Hospital of Sri Lanka told the New York Times the death toll had risen to 189 by Sunday afternoon. U.S. Ambassador to Sri Lanka offered her condolences over Twitter early in the day yesterday. She tweeted, "Deeply saddened by the senseless attacks in Sri Lanka today. Our thoughts are with the victims and their families. We stand with Sri Lanka's people at this terrible moment."
Yeah, there was a report this morning, not a huge surprise, but Muslim extremists, they're believing were the individuals responsible for doing this. Apparently, a top Sri Lankan police official had issued a letter back on April 11th to government security officials warning of possible suicide attacks on Catholic churches. The letter was citing foreign intelligence officials, identified a group suspected of planning the attacks. It's a group you've never heard of before in the region. It named individual members of the group, which said it advocates for spreading Islam by killing non-believers. Highly confidential investigations regarding the above are in process, the letter said, and then, of course, we end up having these attacks. So there might have even been somewhat of a warning leading up to it.
Yeah.
Sidebar to this, not sidebar, but a part of this, Sri Lanka has actually gone so far as to shut down all their social media in the wake of the attack. And it might be worth reaching out to David Gartenstein Ross to get him on the phone later in the week for a segment to talk about that, because we've discussed that before with David, the correlation between your Facebook and your Instagram and then in the region, WhatsApp and Viber, I guess. There's no known link to social media, but they have a troubled history with violence being incited on those platforms. So In response, they shut them all down.
Yeah, and I'm not crazy about that idea. I see some of the reasons why they would want to do that. I see some of the value in it, but at the same time, those can be, you know, essential life-saving communication methods for a lot of people, especially, you know, during a time when, you know, it might be difficult to reach somebody in more traditional means.
Yeah, I have one more thought on that, but I'll hold off on that.
Yeah, we'll continue this conversation and the rest of Sam
and FM 103.5.
And we'll be talking with Jason Lewis right around 8:35 this morning here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM with Justice and Drew. Andrew Langer will be on with us just after 7 o'clock as well. I missed all the Mueller talk on Friday. Did anything come of that report when it came out last week? Are they locking him up?
He's
impeaching him?
They impeached him on Friday.
So ridiculous, man.
Yeah. President Pence so far doing a fantastic job.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's doing great.
That's fantastic.
We're all very happy.
We were, we kicked off Sam's Top 5, and Sam started with this Sri Lanka terrorist attack and mentioned a moment ago that Sri Lanka officials temporarily blocked several social media networks, Facebook and Instagram. Also, users reported being unable to access the messaging on services like WhatsApp and Viber. I don't know what Viber is. Have you heard of Viber?
Viber is, it's an app, like, it's similar to WhatsApp, if I remember correctly.
I don't even know what WhatsApp
is. You can text each other.
WhatsApp,
you can use it
to... Yeah. WhatsApp is like a messenger app, basically, that works well over other... In other countries, I guess, if you're messaging people from other countries, yeah. It's very popular.
If you're messaging or you want to talk with somebody internationally, yes. WhatsApp is a good option.
Oh, okay.
If your phone plan doesn't, you know, let you do that for free, basically.
Yeah.
Sunday's attacks.
Viber is very similar.
Have a no known link to social media. Sri Lanka has a troubled history with violence being incited on the platforms. Its ban, they say, was an extraordinary step that reflects the growing global concerns about social media. The growing concerns threaten Facebook's long-term business model, relying on near-constant growth in developing markets like Asia. The Sri Lanka ban on social media Sunday represented an escalation in the global backlash against social media companies because the move appeared to be preemptive. You know, and again, we we mentioned David Gartenstein-Ross, now the CEO of Allens Global, but used to be a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, and we have him on because he was a counterterrorism expert, still is. He's been talking about it for years, the aspect of social media, and we talk about it a bunch on the show. And it makes sense in a horrible way that people who would want to go out and commit these acts of terrorism would use the platform to bring other people to their cause. You made a comment a moment ago, and I'll kind of paraphrase it by saying, yeah, the cat's kind of out of the bag. There's no going back at this point in time when it comes to social networking and its ability to rally people to a particular narrative or cause, even in this case, to acts of terrorism. One quick little thought: during the break, I was kind of laughing because social networking has answered the question in my mind: if humanity would be well off if we could read each other's minds. We would not be.
No.
And social networking is the example. Because, I mean, really, when you can look at it from that angle, I mean, really is social networking has allowed the ability for people to peer into the minds of individuals who anonymously are willing to go and put every little teeny tiny thought out into the ether that normally they kind of just kept inside their skull, yeah, and they probably should have stayed there.
And you can find like-minded people. You know, and that's the problem. You can have your more radical or crazy or whatever ideas verified in your mind. You know what I mean? Because you'll find a group of people who agrees with you or thinks the same way. That's why things like the Flat Earth movement have gained so much steam and notoriety and so many followers. It's completely ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It's been debunked a million times, obviously. That goes without saying. But, you know, you hop on social media, you get this idea in your head, like, what if? What if the Earth is really flat? I'm going to hop on the internet and do some Googling around and see what I can find. And you will find groups and pages and things that tell you you're right.
I am I'm so thankful that when it comes to, and I'm wording this really, really atrociously, but the terrorist attacks on 9/11, like I'm glad that social networking wasn't where it is now. When that event happened then, you know, if we were to experience something on that level today with social networking being what it is, I don't want to see that scenario play out. Because, I mean, it was bad in and of itself when it comes to the conspiracy theories, and those have always been bad. And it certainly was the case when it came to 9/11. But you got to go back to 9/11 and remember that there was social networking, but not in the way that not anything close, remotely close to what we have now.
Let's jump right back into Sam's Top 5, powered by Early Bird Electric.
Number 2.
The FBI arrested a leader of an armed group that's stopping migrants in New Mexico. From Reuters, on Saturday, the FBI said it had arrested Larry Hopkins, the leader of an armed group that is stopping undocumented migrants after they crossed the U.S.-Mexico border into New Mexico. This arrest came 2 days after the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, accused the group of illegally detaining migrants, and New Mexico's Democratic Governor Michelle Grisham ordered an investigation. Hopkins, who's 69 years old and also known as Johnny Horton, was arrested in Sunland Park, New Mexico, on a federal complaint charging him with being a felon in possession of firearms and ammunition. That's according to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Jim Benvey, a spokesman for the United Constitutional Patriots, blamed his arrest on political pressure from Grisham. He said, "We're not worried about it. He's going to be cleared." The UCP described itself as a patriot group helping U.S. Border Patrol cope with the record numbers of Central American families crossing the border to seek asylum. Dressed in camouflage and carrying rifles, UCP members have helped U.S. Border Patrol detain over 5,600 migrants in the last 2 months. Videos posted online by the group show members telling migrants to stop, sit down, and wait for agents to arrive. Critics have accused the UCP of impersonating law enforcement.
Yeah, this is this is very much reminiscent, but in a bad way. This is very much reminiscent of the Minutemen group. who at the time didn't take it this far. This is an extreme version of what the Minutemen used to do, because the Minutemen used to go onto the border and basically they would report individuals coming across illegally to Border Patrol, but they would not engage with them.
They wouldn't detain.
No, goodness no.
They would monitor, they would patrol parts of the border where the Border Patrol wasn't, and then notify them if they saw people crossing.
Yeah. This is a completely different ballgame.
This is going much further, and this is not helping.
No. Not yeah. Knock it off.
Yeah. You know, you're not helping here.
Number three.
Michael Avenatti has been accused of embezzling again. This time of almost $2 million from the girlfriend of an NBA player.
Just put him away and just be done
How
with
has
this.
He not been just arrested?
Just, my God,
like,
every week
he's embezzled somebody new.
There's some new ridiculous controversy surrounding this fool.
How does he have enough time to embezzle this many people?
Yeah, I mean, wasn't he very busy being on CNN like every day for a while? And how did he find time to embezzle all these people? When CNN was just, you know, propping him up and promoting him and telling everybody that he was going to be the next president.
From the Washington Examiner, the embattled celebrity lawyer Michael Avenatti has been accused of embezzling almost $2 million after he struck a lucrative settlement for the former girlfriend of NBA player Hassan Whiteside. Avenatti, as the attorney for Alexis Gardner, who's 27 years old, negotiated a $3 million deal for the actress and barista. $2.75 million of which the Miami Heat player Whiteside wired to a trust account set up by Avenatti in January 2017. That's according to bank records and an April 10th indictment by the California-based grand jury. Avenatti was entitled to $1 million in legal fees, but he did not tell Gardner about the payment and misrepresented the terms of her agreement with Whiteside. That's according to prosecutors and that they're alleging in the indictment. They said that instead, he funneled $2.5 million into the bank account of a law firm owned by an associate so he could buy a share of a small private jet. Avenatti told Gardner that Whiteside's first payment was for legal fees, but that she would receive monthly installments over the next 8 years. He made 11 transfers to Gardner, totaling $194,000, before money ceased in June 2018. Though Whiteside and Gardner confirmed the settlement in a statement, Avenatti pushed back on accusations he acted illegally or inappropriately.
Of course not.
Teehee.
He's never done anything wrong. Yet another cavalcade of legal charges that he is very confident he will overcome.
Yeah, man, look, honestly, if you're doing business with Michael Avenatti at this point, you're basically wearing a sign that says embezzle me please.
Like, I can't.
What a scumbag.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
I don't like it when I have like extra things added to my plate, right? Okay. Like, I have a doctor's appointment that I have to go to here in a couple weeks. And then I got a call for another doctor's appointment that I need to go and make an appointment for to go. And I got to run errands today. And I don't like any of that. All that brings me joy thinking, what must it be like to be Michael Avenatti?
Right? Right?
I mean, my stuff is just like daily routine stuff. Yeah. I mean, this guy's just got, you know,
indictments upon indictments.
Well, I got to get this jail sentence underway. Well, I got to get this jail sentence underway. Well, I got to get this jail sentence underway.
You know what? I have some free time. Might as well embezzle somebody else.
Do you think there's any embarrassment over at CNN, like with the Don Lemons and the,
no,
and
I don't
the Cuomos
think they care.
And everybody else that put on every single day?
No, I don't think
they feel a moment of like shame and embarrassment, like, God, what were we doing?
No, look at the ridiculous responses to the redacted Mueller report. I was, you know, I mean, I had plenty of time to watch.
Well, John, every CNN anchor went on Twitter to tell me that the Mueller report really just showed that the journalism was spot on.
My point, you know, exactly. Really,
they did a great job covering this whole thing. They all patted themselves on the back after reading the Mueller report.
I feel like they've all been infected with a disease that makes them incapable of any self-reflection. That's the only explanation that I can offer up, is that there's some virus out there that makes it incapable for those on the left who were so just entrenched with this idea that Trump was going to get locked up and Mueller was going to be the one to put him away, that they are just simply incapable of stopping going, wow, we were, you know what, we were wrong. Like, they're incapable of doing that.
Number four.
Nice Ride bikes are returning on this fine Earth Day, and they're offering some free rides.
Oh, it's perfect weather for it. The lightning outside has been scaring the daylights out. It's been, have you noticed it?
It's been awful.
The lightning's been just, it's like, is there a rod on the roof of the building?
No, it's just a storm.
I know, there's just a lot of lightning outside. It's freaking me out.
Careful, John, you might get struck. From Care 11, Lyft's bike share program, Nice Ride Minnesota, is going to be returning to Minneapolis today, which is also Earth Day. In honor of the relaunch and Earth Day, Nice Ride is offering free rides to customers on this day. To claim your free day pass, you can use the code EARTHDAY19 in the Nice Ride app.
Yeah, I'll pass.
You don't want to...
I'm good.
You don't want a free bike rental?
Nah, I'm good. Thanks.
Nice Ride has made several changes to its program in Minneapolis, including contracting with Motivate Minnesota to operate the system. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey said that access to different affordable transit options helps to make Minneapolis a greener and more connected city. Mayor Frey said Nice Ride's expansion and relaunch further those goals and move Minneapolis one step closer to having the transit system our city deserves. The free day pass gets you 24 hours of unlimited half-an-hour rides. What?
Wait, the free day pass...
If it's an unlimited half-hour ride, then it's just unlimited rides.
Right.
We have to stop every 30 minutes?
Yes.
Get off and...
You have to get a new bike?
Get off.
Does your bike stop? But after that half hour is done, what, I mean, does your bike just, do your wheels just lock up?
Unlimited until you renew rides.
So just unlimited rides.
Half of the time, you can ride all of the time.
For 24 hours.
That day pass of 24 hours of half an hour rides.
48 half hour rides.
How is that? I don't understand.
I don't either.
I don't get it.
It's only for half an hour. Yeah, but it's free and it's unlimited. Yeah, but it's only for half an hour.
Unlimited half hour.
I don't think you know what the word unlimited means.
That day pass is usually sold for $6. You can find stations and unlock bikes using the Nice Ride app. Have fun biking.
Thanks.
Number 5.
Speaking of transportation with meter rate changes, free parking has vanished in downtown Minneapolis.
Oh, good. Great. Awesome.
Yeah.
One less reason to go to downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent job, Mayor Frey.
Yeah, but Mayor Frey is working hard to make Minneapolis, you know, having a good transit system, right? Transportation.
Yeah. Just don't ever use your car.
Chuck Henninger got a unpleasant surprise last Monday when he went to pay the parking meter in downtown Minneapolis. The price had gone up by $1 an hour. He said he was shocked about the increase that went into effect last week without much forewarning from the city, which announced the price hike in a news release. He said, I was unaware that increase is unwarranted.
Well, with 24 hours of unlimited half riding, who needs to park a car?
This isn't the only recent change that may catch motorists off guard. The timing rules also changed for meters in the area bound by Hennepin Avenue and South 13th Avenue and 12th and East 14th Streets and West River Parkway. Almost all of the 2,625 meters in the downtown core are going to have a two-hour limit. Some had been longer, usually about 4 hours. And drivers accustomed to parking free on weekends at some meters will now have to pay. Parking at meters is meant to be short-term, but meter parking is enticing because it is often cheaper than parking in ramps or lots.
Exactly.
As a result, metered spots were occupied more than 90% of the time. That made it difficult for visitors to find a place to park, which was according to the city's parking systems manager.
Who do they think's parking there, if not visitors?
No, I think
those spots are occupied by visitors.
And it's not like people that live in Minneapolis are parking at meters every day.
Right. Those are people, granted, I think one of the things they wanted to tackle were people that are actually down there to work and have done the math and calculated that it's cheaper to go out there and feed the meter every couple of hours than it is to park in a ramp or a garage, but there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and additionally, to add to your point, it's the days of needing to go out and feed your meter also are not kind of over just because there's apps that you can do, because I always would feed my meter using an app, which made it super convenient. So finding a parking spot at a meter was like super convenient. Now the pricing is going up, so it doesn't really matter.
I wish one metropolitan, and this will never happen, okay, so I understand this is a complete and total dream. However, I wish that one large metropolitan area that had parking meters, like every downtown does, that they're downtown, that for 6 months in the middle of the nice months of the year, right? Just turned them all off. Just to see what happened. Like, I would really legitimately like to know what kind of impact it would be if you didn't, if you just let people go downtown and park
without squeezing a dollar
out of and making it this whole got to jump through hoops and the kiosks and just to see what happens. I would really be just to get me, let me give me 4 months, just 4 months of no meters and just see what ends up taking place.
I would be happy if they just did it for a weekend, maybe a weekend when there's like a Twins game or a Timberwolves game or thing, you know, when there's a couple of events happening to see if how it impacts just people's behavior.
There's no way that they would do it. I mean, this is just, it's a money grab because these new rates are going to bring in $200,000 to $500,000 annually.
Right.
And this, it's quoted in the story that that revenue is going to go back to street or go back into street repairs, but the biggest reason is to change people's behavior.
And stop trying to change my behavior.
But I know we got a break.
Not your job.
But I would, and I would, and Sam, I agree with you because it's a revenue generator. But I would wonder if the amount of money, if the increase in sales taxes from individuals being able to go downtown and not having to worrying about paying for parking would end up offsetting the amount of money that they draw from individuals having to pay to go to park their cars.
Right.
That, and again, that's all hypothetical. It's a dream. It's the things I dream of at night when I go to sleep.
Excellent top five, Sam.
Thank you
to Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's Top 5. Our D.C. correspondent, Andrew Langer, joins us next.
Yeah, coming up, he wants to ask the question, does anybody actually care about the Mueller report?